All right, welcome to the Ohio Writers Guild for Authors and Writers. And today we're going to be talking with Stacey James all about her background, her history, and her new book. So you're going to hear a little bit about that. But before we do that, I want to introduce myself, Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor. I have the Kathy Benner International Academy. And if you just go to kathybenner.com, I put that already in the chat. If you just go to kathybenner.com, you will see the five lanes that I teach in. So I have a free meetup. This is the free meetup in this particular group for authors and writers, but I have a free meetup for folks that are getting involved in real estate. And you can see it's all about passive income. So, and my passive income comes from real estate. So I have a big passive income lane in real estate. I also have how to build a better business. We talk about how to lay out your website. To make your customer the hero and you the guide. And there's a whole series of videos you can listen to there, and it's an entire course. And then I have also a networking and connecting where we get together once a month. And I also have a it's called Fit as a Fiddle, and it's all about health and wellness and just being your best self. And my new book is coming out at the end of this month, and it is The Biohacking Entrepreneur, which is all about how you can balance being healthy and doing all the right stuff. We all know what it is, but it's so hard for us to stick to it sometimes when we're an entrepreneur because we get in that flow of trying to get that next book published or get that next business launched or whatever it is that we're doing, and we sometimes forget to take care of ourselves. And so the book is a collaborative effort, just like the book that Stacy is currently in, where several authors have come together and give their insights and expertise on how to balance all of that. So that is a little bit about me. Sandy Kachurik is my co-host, my co-mod, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about what she brings to the table. And Sandy, how long have we been together now? Gosh, it's been a few years.
Yes, it has. I at least probably five, maybe five
Probably,
years.
yeah.
Yep. Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're thinking about writing and how that could fit in your life, add it to your already busy lives, I'm pretty sure, and how to keep going once that those books get launched and your short stories get launched. I direct a writer's workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio. I call it Into the Springs. We're at the Mills Park Hotel, which is about the center of the town. And if you know anything about Yellow Springs, the town itself is quite a lovely space to walk around in. And the workshop fits in there very well. It's a whole weekend. It's always the first week of August, August 1, 2, and 3 this year. And I invite featured guests who are writers and experts in the writing world. Only about two or three of them. I keep them busy the whole weekend because I want them to be accessible to you. If you have a question that comes to you on Saturday after seeing a session on Friday with one of them, that person is still there on Saturday, probably giving more sessions as well. So to me, I want you to walk away from the end of the weekend. One, your head about ready to explode because I'm going to give you so much information, but also with some renewed vigor to going in and saying, yeah, I've got my problem solved or my questions answered or a better direction to take or however it happens for you because writing is like a lot of art forms. It's very individualized, but it's also a business if you want to make a living at it or some income from it. So it has to conform to a bit to your audience. So you're playing this whole kind of back and forth between I'm an individual. Well, I want to make something commonplace too. It's a crazy question. You could talk to a lot of people there that weekend. I only have about 50 to 60 people. So it's a small group. We share the same space, the same sessions. We all have lunch together. There's open mic reading on Saturday night if you want to read up to 10 minutes of your story. I have book sales on Sunday morning at the Mills Park, and Ellie's restaurant is well known in the area and is one of the busiest places in Yellow Springs is on Sunday morning. So I have now tables set up in the banquet hall and enticing those brunch people to come on in and take a look at your books, as well as your fellow colleagues for that weekend too. The sessions, as I said, are shared this year. The two featured guests for the whole weekend is Victoria Salvaggio. She is the owner and literary agent of Storm Literary Agency. Yes, she is hearing book pitches. All you need to do is to know the ending of your book if you want to give that pitch. Man, I tell you, it's only about 5 minutes long, but it can be the most tension-ridden 5 minutes of your life. She's going to show you in a session how to do it best, how to so you can feel most comfortable. And even if you don't want to go traditional publishing with an agent, it's always kind of nice to see how many ways can you reformat your story to fit a cover blurb, to fit an advertising piece, to pitch it to an agent, to sell it in the elevator, as they call elevator pitches. That's all the business of writing as well. So she's going to teach a session on doing a book pitch. She's going to teach a session on query letters. Query letters is if you don't pitch in person, but you see something like, ooh, I want that agent. I want to get a chance and maybe get an agent for my book. Well, you send them a query letter. And that's only 250 words, but again, a very critical 250 words. And she's also going to teach a session on editing. How do you get a piece ready if you're editing it for a magazine, editing it for a podcast, editing it to send to an agent, and so forth. Along with Vicky is Juliet Hyland. She's well surpassed her 25 books that she has published. She writes for an imprint of Harlequin romance, mostly in medical romance. And she does that while a daytime job, two children, and a husband, a house, et cetera, et cetera. You fill in all those blanks. She gets it done. She's one of those where someone asks her, "So, what do you do for fun?" And she didn't really know the answer to that. So she's a driven woman, but she is clever. She's going to do sessions such as, "How do you create characters that your reader can root for?" Because that's the key in fiction and maintaining that, and even in nonfiction. Yes, you're writing about yourself or your people you know, but it's still got to be for the reader. They want to be able to root for you. So all of that can be translated into so many different genres. Then she's going to do a little writing exercise, and that will carry over to the next day. And there are a lot more writing exercises this week, that weekend. So you can go home with new ideas, maybe perfecting some older ideas. So there's that together. So it's a lot. I've got my website up there, into the springs, writersworkshop.com. That'll give you all the information. Should be exciting. I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I'd appreciate it if you have any questions. By all means, you can contact me through the website. Thanks.
Sandy, thank you so much. Now, for those of you that are listening, I remember when I first, well, I've always wanted to be a writer from the time I was 12. And of course, life gets in the way, and you have to get a job and pay the bills and all of that. So when it finally came full circle, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I thought, I want to write. What does that mean? Where do I start? What do I do? And one of the best things that I did for myself was attending a writer's workshop and surrounding myself with other writers because it taught me how to think about writing. And that was the first step of becoming a writer, is knowing how to think as a writer. Because before that, and I know many of you may ponder what I'm saying, but before that, I would think as a reader. And it wasn't until I started attending writers' workshops that I started to think as a writer. So I encourage you to go to this one. This one is small enough that you don't feel like you get lost in the crowd. I remember the first writer's workshop I went to, there were so many folks, and I ended up in the back row because I had to drive a couple of hours to get there. It was down in Cincinnati from Ohio, from Columbus, Ohio. And I ended up in the back row, and I just felt like I was kind of a number in the room. And this writer's workshop is small enough that it makes you feel like you are a part of the workshop. So it's large enough that you get tons of great information and you're surrounding yourself with writers, but it's small enough that you don't get lost in the crowd. So I encourage you to attend this one. This is my favorite one. I've attended many writers' workshops now, and this one is still my favorite one. So I'll just toss that out there. So Sandy, thank you so much. And you can see how to connect with her in the actual chat there. And Debbie has been with me. Oh my gosh, Debbie, how long have we known each other? Years, years and years and years and years. So, Debbie, just share with the audience just a tad bit about what you do and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. And it's really great to be back in the loop of things. I've been trying a little bit each week, and I'm a almost writer for my book anyways, but I do write for Kathy's magazine. And I just live here outside of Columbus. And I represent I share and educate people on how to convert their home to chemical-free products with the company that I belong to called Melaleuca, 40 years. On Friday for my fireside chat, I did I was the presenter that, yes, our Friday, and I talked about Melaleuca. I shared a video that kind of answers a whole lot of questions for people. And you can find that on my YouTube channel, which is Easy Debbie Marks. I'm a grandmother, and I'll tell you, this year has been crazy, crazy, and it's going to be even more busier as the year goes on. And I was diagnosed with something quite out of the blue. And on over 3.5 months, I was very busy with doctor's appointments, testing, and quite unbeknownst to me, and I'm going to tell people, don't ever be afraid to have a test, because I went in and had a test and it just snowballed from there. Diagnosed me with lung cancer. So on March 12th, finally, I had one third of my right lung removed with all of my
Wow.
lymph nodes. I am like a month out now from that, but the praises to God, I am now cancer free.
Wow.
So, which is awesome. And I feel
Debbie,
really.
it is so good to see you. So good to see you on the call today.
Thank you. Thank you. I was very leery on who to talk to about this, but Kathy was aware of it. And I'm just really glad to be back out here today. And I'm telling you, I've got four grandchildren graduating next month in May from from college. All of them are going to be graduating from college, and then my oldest granddaughter gets married in September. And then I had one thing that was driving me to get better, and that is I have a trip in August to Alaska with my sister. And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about that. So that is going to be something really worth writing about. And so thank you very much, Kathy, for giving me this time. I appreciate it.
Debbie, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Now, Debbie is writing her memoir. So, yeah, she's got a lot more chapters now she's going to have to add.
Definitely.
She has a lot to live
Yeah.
for, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Debbie, thank you for being here. This is the first that Debbie has been back on a call since her surgery with me. So, that's why I wanted to give her some time to share today. So, Debbie, thank you for being here. Let's talk to Stacy. Now, I've known Stacy for a long time as well. Now, Debbie, I don't know if you remember, because Debbie and I, we were very involved with Carrie's group as well. And that's where I met Stacy, was through Carrie's. Debbie's like, yeah, that's where I remember her. So anyway, Stacy James is unbreakable. She is unshakable and unstoppable. If you know anything about Stacy, she's believing that no one should ever use adversity as an excuse. She is an award-winning speaker, a best-selling author, a life coach. And for 25 years, she's inspired people to embrace hope, courage, and perseverance to impact the world with their God-given mission. Stacy turned a paralyzing diving accident at age 20 into lessons for life, motivating people to develop resilience and overcome adversity. She has won more than 200 medals in wheelchair sports, competed 14 marathons, probably that's more now. And traveled to 8 different countries. She was one of Columbus Business First Accomplished 40 Under 40 and former Miss Wheelchair Ohio and one of Columbus Remarkable Women of 2020. Wow, Stacy, that is unbelievable. Your story is such a testament to resilience. So after this accident at age 20, and then you've become this award-winning speaker and best-selling author and life coach. What inspired you? Can you share what inspired you to turn such a traumatic event into a mission to inspire others? I would probably be digging holes in the basement thinking, you know, how terrible my life was. And how in the world did you, for all practical purposes, pulled yourself up by your bootstraps and said, I'm going to overcome this?
You
Share
know,
that. Share that with us.
yeah, people say that to me a lot. They're like, well, if that happened to me, I would just be laying in bed for the rest of my life. I'm like, well, it doesn't sound very fun to me. And yeah, it would be easy to wallow in all of the stuff I have to go through. And trust me, you know, I might look nice right now, but it's a lot of work to actually get all dressed up. The routine of my life takes so much time, so much effort because you know, I'm still a quadriplegic and I got a lot back after my accident, but there's still a lot that's wrong with me medically that I have to deal with, doctor's appointments, self-care, therapy. I spend hours a day on therapy, and that's not to get any better. That's just to maintain. That's not to lose what I gain. And you know, the more I get older, as anybody, you know, things don't work the way you want them to. So, but I really, you know, if I didn't use my life to help other people, it would just be selfish gain. And so what I want people to know is that no matter what happens to you, you can learn from it, you can grow, you can become better, and you can do more really than the doctors thought possible a lot. You can do more than what other people believe that you can do because there's going to be a lot of naysayers out there, even in your own family. They won't believe in you, or they think, you know, we don't want you to get hurt or whatever. And you can do more than you think is possible. But with God, all things are possible, and you don't want to limit Him. So I want to use my life, the things that I've done, the traveling. Traveling is very, very hard for me. It can be almost a nightmare. It's not the flying, it's the hotels. But I still do it because the benefits are worth it. And so sometimes if you push through the hard things, you just deal with what has to be dealt with and you do it. You can have some great times. I like to teach people about that, not giving up, push through the hard times. You know, a lot of the sports I do is for lessons. It's, you know, I am, as a quadriplegic, my arms are 4 to 5 times weaker than the average person, and it's even getting worse. But I don't, you know, I don't go into races to win. I'd like to win. I try to win, but most of the time I come in last. But it's all about finishing what you started and giving it your best. So those are some lessons I like to teach the audience. That's why I want it to be about them, what they can learn. And that's why I want to put it in writing. That's why I want to speak about it and inspire as many people as I can, especially as a life coach. If people want personal coaching on that, you know, individual, that's helpful.
Wow. Wow. How amazing, Stacy. I my hat is off to you. Yes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You're just most recently in a book called Resilience Anthology 2, and your chapter was called One More Push. So in that chapter, you recount your determination to compete in the New York City Marathon despite tremendous obstacles. And so as a writer, how did you approach translating such a personal, physically demanding journey into this narrative that would resonate with others actually in written form in a book?
Okay, so first of all, here's our book. I'm very
Yay!
proud. Yeah, I'm very proud of it. Resilience Anthology 2. There's actually two anthologies. So they're both awesome stories of 14 women, and they're on the back here. One of them are in the middle by my hand. And 14 women just recounting amazing stories of being resilient in all kind of areas of life, for women, from overcoming domestic violence to abortion to how do I deal with the guilt of that, to just someone's son died, and how do you deal with death? One of them actually perished in an accident, and dealing with that and forgiving the person that killed them. And one of their sons actually came back to life, which is amazing. So I'm so proud to be part of this book, Resilience Anthology 2. And my story is about doing the New York City Marathon, my very first marathon. And I'm in this book, which is called Love, Family, and Friendships That Endure, because I did it with my mom. And so it's all about, my mom coming alongside me, supporting me, helping me, and us doing that together, just like she's always done ever since I had my diving accident 35 years ago when I was 20 years old. And the reason I wanted to put it in a book, and you mentioned, how do I translate that into something that the readers could relate to? I wanted not just to tell the story, but to show the story. So I wrote it in a way that if you've never done a marathon, which most people have, and I think 1% of all people actually do marathons and complete them, I wanted the reader to experience what is it like to actually run this 26.1 mile race. So I wrote it in a way that they could come along, come almost racing with me. What is that like? What are my thoughts? What are my feelings? What was it like when I was exhilarated? And what was it like, more important, when I wanted to quit? And so that's where I want to relate to the audience, because so often when we have a dream, when we have a goal, it's very exciting at the very beginning. But then there's so many times, there's ups and downs, and we want to give up and quit. And what keeps us going? So I talk about those times when I'm beat, I want to quit. And there's actually the option really to quit. But what kept me going? You'll have to find out. What kept me going in the race are several things that can help other people to keep going in their life. And did we finish the race? You have to read the book to find out, because sometimes you don't finish your race, but what you learn along the way are lessons that will help you in life, that will make you stronger and better for other challenges. So there you go. Did that answer some of your question, or is there more?
Oh, absolutely. So don't forget, check out the chat. Now, if you're listening to this as a replay, I will put a link in the actual replay description so that you can find Stacy's book, because now we're all curious. We have to go get the book so we can find out. But writing about adversity can be emotionally challenged. And how did you balance sharing your most vulnerable moments with maintaining the unbreakable spirit that you're known for? Now, was there a specific point in your writing where you found yourself overcoming emotional hurdles in order to complete the story, or was the writing pretty easy?
Writing, I'm not sure that writing is ever really easy. What I do when I write is to just, I want to get it out the way that I remember experiencing it. So that's what I do. I write about, I want to not just tell people, but show people. So what I do is I try to remember the conversation, and I put it as conversation rather than the nurse told me XYZ. I say, nurse so and so said, quote, whatever it was,
Okay.
and then my response, and then whatever. Now the biggest thing that is helpful, and this would help your readers, is I'm part of a writing group where I get feedback every so often on what I'm writing. And the feedback I'm getting is, you're telling us like a laundry list of what happened to you in the hospital. What are your thoughts? You were injured at 20 years old. You had your whole life ahead of you. And what are your thoughts about, this is devastating. Well, at the time, I think it was just going through the motions. But what they want to know for anybody, what are your real emotions behind this? Because I think people relate more to real authenticity than they do to the champion that's always winning, and never experience any kind of sadness or grief. And I think everybody goes through that. So it's good to put those authentic times. And I have to reach back and try to remember, what was I thinking? What was I feeling during those times? And so I write it out, and they say, just put the mess on the page and you can correct it later, but just get it down. And so your first draft isn't going to be perfect. And just know that, just so you get everything that you're experiencing, feeling, all the big events down. And your, like I said, your thoughts and your feelings. So that's what I try to go for.
Now, whenever it's traumatic like that, I think when you have to kind of think and you have to go inside yourself and go, okay, I'm going to go back and I'm going to think about what was I feeling? Do you have to relive all those emotions again as you write them out again to get that authenticity?
Well, it's reliving it, but for me, it wasn't, I don't remember it as being like horribly traumatic. Some, and it was a traumatic accident. I slammed my head on the bottom of 3 feet of water when I was a college student at 20 years old. I was at a swimming party with friends, and I wasn't drunk or anything. I was with a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. We were celebrating the end of our school year. And I was standing on my friend's shoulders in the shallow end of the pool, and I felt myself falling off. So I dove toward the deep end, but never made it. Like I said, I slammed my head in the bottom of 3 feet of water and was instantly paralyzed from the neck down. And I would have drowned if that's what I was really scared. I thought, no one knows I'm hurt. And my friend rescued me. They pulled me out of the water. And so the story kind of goes from there. So reliving that, I remember the frightening feelings. I remember being scared. Why isn't my body moving? It's remembering that there wasn't a lot of trauma that I remember that sent me into really depressing feelings as I'm writing it. But some people, as they write their stories, they are traumatic, and they could be reliving those experiences. Sometimes you don't want to. It's hard to relive that. And one of the things that our writing coach told us was, like, if you've gone through something really, really traumatic, you don't want to, especially if you've gone through rape, you don't want to give all those graphic details, because the reader is going to experience that and they're not going to forget it. It's called secondhand trauma. So you want to put details, leave some of those details out, but indicate that that trauma did happen, like he shut the door and, something like that. So that was an interesting tidbit that I got. Luckily, I don't have to do that with my story. But yeah, so I'm not reliving trauma as I write it. I'm reliving the experience in hopes that people can relate to hard things happening. But what you want to give people when you write is you want to give them hope. Hope that this is getting better. This eventually did get better. I did overcome this emotionally, and here's how I did it. This Bible verse helped me. The support of my family helped me get through. People helping me with this or that, or coming to the Lord in prayer, that was really helpful. And this prayer got answered. That gives people hope for what they're going through. So I try to touch on those things.
Wow, Stacy, this is so much more. I mean, I've known you for a while, and this is just so much more than what I ever really knew about your story. So you face these incredible obstacles, not just in life, but also, getting everything written down. And what were some of the biggest obstacles that you encountered while writing your experience? Did you have any or a few that you had to really kind of dig deep and figure out how to overcome?
The biggest obstacle I find is I'm writing this like 34, 35 years later. So I've wanted to write a book for decades. I just didn't do it. And it's because I was like, I'm not going to remember all that. And so that's the biggest part, is like trying to remember things that happened many, many years later. So it's just a matter of, okay, I'm just going to go with what I know. I'm going to write down. And what I do is in my phone, I have many different categories. So I've got one list of book memories. So as I'm writing it, I'm like, oh, I remember that happened. That person sat down with me and had this conversation. oh, I remember this nurse did that, and I write it in my book memories. So I write it chronologically, and like I said, I just try to remember things as they happened. And so the Lord is bringing back more things that I remember from time to time. Oh, I remember this person sent this card and said this, and that meant a lot to me. So
Well, then
that's
one memory probably would trigger maybe even another memory.
they do. And
Yeah.
another way to do it is because I had a lot of friends at the time that went through this with me, that visited me in a hospital. And I remember running into one of my friends. I was like, "What do you remember about my accident?" And he told me some stuff that was very very helpful. So that's another thing. I'm going to go back. I'm going to talk to some friends and family that were there that went through it with me, and that will be helpful at triggering memories. And also, I want to write from their perspective. What were they thinking? What were they doing at that time? Because there's a background of there. My mom, my dad, my stepdad were all like their background. My mom was, traumatized behind the scene. Never let me see her cry. And she was begging God, like, "God, put this on me, not on my daughter." And she never told me that the doctor told her I'd never walk again. Thank goodness.
Wow. Wow. Did you ever feel like giving up?
There were times, I don't know that I felt like giving up, but there's one point in my book that I haven't written it yet, but there was a time when I didn't realize how bad it was when it first happened. I was just going through the motions, do this, breathe in this drug to help your lungs, do these exercises and physical therapy. It wasn't until I used to twirl baton, and it wasn't until I saw a baton twirl and I thought, "Give me that baton, I can twirl it." But I knew if you put it in my hands, it would slide right through my fingers. That's when I realized, I'm like, I couldn't stop crying. The reality had finally hit me that you are way more hurt than you realize, and this is not gonna get, this might not ever get better. And so that's one of the ways that I really I wasn't gonna, that actually that was a turning point. That was when I've gotta get the mental capacity, the spiritual capacity to say, you got a lot of work to do. And that's when I realized there's a Bible verse that someone put in my room. It said, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And I use that as my motto. And so that helped me to keep
So
going.
that was the day you knew you had to dig in.
Yeah, really did. That's one of the that was a major point, but there was other points too. Because life can be a roller coaster. It got good days and got bad days.
Wow.
But
I
keep
remember,
going. That's the important thing.
yeah, I remember being in a class with you at one of Carrie's, a breakout with you at one of Carrie's conferences, and I glanced over my shoulder and you were standing up, and I was like, what? So share with our audience a little bit about that. I'm sure there was a time in your healing process that did you just make up your mind you were going to do that at some point, or?
Well, I was going to do the best I could, no matter what it took, to live my life again, whether that was going to be walking or not. So you had to learn life both ways. And so they weren't sure that I'd ever walk again. The way that they did the physical therapy was, this is how you push a wheelchair, and this is how you do this sitting down. And even like, if you can see my hands, they when you break your neck, your entire body is affected. So my arms are really weak, my hands are functional. I'd say functional. They can't do everything I want, but back then I could hardly do anything. And so it was very gradual. When I'm like, during a spasm, my legs would have spasms. I realized I could lift my leg a teeny weeny bit. And then another spasm happened later, and I'm like, I can lift my leg a little bit. Then I very gradually got some movement back in my legs, and we strengthened those muscles. And then I was able to stand for just a little bit, and just very gradually I was able to walk through parallel bars. And when I left rehab, I was able to walk with crutches. So it was a lot of therapy, a lot of prayer, a lot of determination, a lot of not giving up. And so now, when I go places, I often look for places I can stand in the back because it's more comfortable on my body. It helps keep me awake. I'm tired almost all the time from drugs I take and from not being able to sleep. And so it helps keep me awake. And right now I'm standing up because it's just, like I said, it's more comfortable. I try to stand as much as I can. Gets a little harder as I grow, get older, but yeah, so that's
Wow.
how I'm standing. People are surprised when I do that.
Yes, I was surprised. So very pleasantly surprised. I was like, wow. Yeah. So that's when I knew that you had grit. That's when I knew when I saw that. I thought Stacy has grit. She's gonna make it no matter what. What time of day do you find yourself more productive when you're writing? Let's talk a little bit about the writing process.
Sure, I'd like to help some other writers. Okay, first of all, I have a very busy life. There's so many things that I'm doing in my life. I'm not a full-time writer. I'm not a professional writer at all. I have to squeeze in that time. And here's where I really fail is having the discipline to write, because I'm always trying to, I want to get this done. I want to get that done. I got to get this financial thing done. I've got to get this newsletter out. I need to make phone calls. I need to do therapy. I'll write after this is done, after that's done, and then it never gets done. So it's what I
That's
do.
all of us, by the way, Stacy.
That's why I said that, because you told me that earlier. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's, I think it's a struggle every writer has is finding that time. And it's discipline that gets any job done. I can't wait for inspiration. I'm not necessarily inspired to do anything. It's just a matter of I'm going to get this done and I'm going to do it. And so what I did for the collaboration book, the benefit of that helped me get that story done was that I had a deadline. I had to have it done at certain dates so that it could be edited in time. And part of my problem is pushing things to the deadline. It's much better if you get it before. So that was helpful. That's how I got that out. And what I would do is I don't type a lot. I dictate it in my phone. There's a notes feature on your phone. I would dictate it into the notes of my phone, and then I could transfer those notes into Word, and then I would work for from there. But that's how I did it. Dictating, it's a lot more words out there. It's easier for me. That might be easier for some of your listeners. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. You got to do what it takes. So I would do that. I would just say, you know what, I got to get this done. I'm going to do it. I'm not a morning person. I would just do it in the afternoon. And then I'd write for like and speak for like an hour, hour and a half, and then the next day do more. Now, I'm writing my memoir right now about my accident, like I told you, my true story. And I do the same way, dictate it into my phone, transfer it into Word. And or you could also just print out the notes from your phone, which sometimes I do that. And here's my problem is I don't have a deadline. So I have got to get this book out by the time the next NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, comes out in February, because I want to promote it then. So I've got to get it done this year. So I need to make a deadline by probably the fall, because then it gets to be edited, then it needs to be published, and I've got to have readers, I've got to have editors, I have to get a book cover. So all that has to be done. So the biggest thing that you as a writer want to do is make a deadline, tell people your deadline so that they can help you, because that will seriously get your butt moving. And that's what I need. Otherwise, your book is going to be in the future, in the future. And so,
Oh, I've talked to authors. They've been writing a book for 10 years.
yeah,
Yeah.
me too. Or wanting to write a book for all that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, do you have any rituals or routines? Is it like I'm going to write for an hour right after lunch every day, or is it anything that structured, or no?
What I do, I try to get out of my environment. My house currently is not a good environment because there's too many distractions. There's TV, there's piles of paper, piles of things to go through. I've gone to the library to write, get myself one of those. You can get like a secluded room, or if you're just typing, you don't need that necessarily. Or I get outside my house, when it's nice, just sit outside on my sidewalk and dictate into the phone. And that's how I do it, is get away from the environment for a while. A lot of times people that work from home say, I have to get out of my house to get anything done. And it is so true. So find yourself a place, or I'd go to like, a restaurant where I could sit outside where they don't mind if I'm at a table for a while. So those are some strategies that I used to at least get the initial stuff done. Then once it's on
Oh,
the paper, then you can work for it with it from there.
I get that. I have again, my passive income is mostly rental properties. And so I always have something to do with the rentals because I have like 28 doors now. And so there's always something. There's always a maintenance request, or there's a new move in, or there's a move out, or there's always something. And I too have to just move to a different room. So what works for me is I just, and again, I like to dictate into my phone as well. I use Google Docs. I just talk right into Google Docs, and that way it's already right there in the doc, and then I can edit from there. And sometimes, like you, Stacey, I'll just go into another room where, like, our dining room, the table is always cleared off. And that way I'm not sitting there trying to write or dictate my story. And I look around and I see these stacks of bills that need paid, or the, you get it. So, so that works for me as well. I certainly understand that. Now, many new authors, they struggle with finding their voice on the page. They're like, do I write in first person? Do I write in third person? Do I make it conversational, or do I just tell the story and then later try to, they have a hard time finding their voice. Can you share how you developed your voice? On how you decided how you wanted to show up on the page.
Yeah, I wanted to write it in first person so people would know that it's me telling the story, it's me experiencing it. So writing from I this, I said this, I thought this, the nurses said this. And also there was one interesting piece of feedback I got. I was writing for my mom's story, and I wrote Helen, and they said, "Oh, you should write Stacy's mom, because that makes it more personal, that identifies it as your mom." But yeah, so I wanted to write it in first person. Yeah, I think first person helps you to show more rather than tell. So that's why I chose that.
And then what made you decide to make it conversational with the quotes?
Because I think that's more, well, first of all, I think it breaks it up a little bit. It makes it a little, gives it more variety. It shows what they actually said and what you actually said back in real life. So I think that makes it more real. At least it does to me. So sometimes some instances when I was telling the story, I wrote, "The nurses said XYZ," and I thought, "Oh, this might be interesting if I just said, Nurse Clara said, Stacy, you got to take control of your care," instead of "she said." I just put it in quotes as if she said it, and my response. I just thought it made
Okay. So it makes the reader feel like they're actually taking the journey with you.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yes, I love that. I love
Because I
that.
want it to, I think too, how would this look in a movie? And I think through that as well, because I'd love my story to be in a movie someday. So I think about what would that look like as a movie. So that's another thing, maybe, that if your readers want to think through that, it might be just an interesting way to look at it.
That's a good
But
point.
yeah, whether or not they want it to be in a movie, at least that will give it more color and realness, I think.
Yeah, I can see that. As someone who's completed 14 marathons and earned over 200 medals in wheelchair sports, how did you translate that physical perseverance into the written word? That's a tough one. How did you structure your story to reflect that determination and tenacity that you're known for?
Well, what I do, like I said, I try to take the readers on the journey with me. I write about what I was thinking, what I was feeling. And I remember, okay, so this is a long time ago. I wish I would have written things as I was experiencing them. But at one point, I remember a lot of what I did, I wanted to do as to be a role model for people, because sometimes I did not like what I was doing. I remember pushing around the track at the Ohio Wheelchair Games, kind of stuffed in this track chair. It is not comfortable. It's not fun. My arms are weak. My arms are hurting. And I remember I'm going around and around this track, and I wrote this poem in my head called Perseverance. And it's like, perseverance is keeping on when the road is rough, when the road is long. Perseverance means not giving up when you look in the stands and no one's cheering you on. All your friends are really at home. And I wrote it in a rhyming fashion. I just remember that poem right now. But yeah, it's like, it's not necessarily fun, but I try to write that as a way where the reader can experience it with me and will know my thoughts. Like, this isn't necessarily fun. This is hard. These are, I want to give up. I want to get it. It's freezing cold outside. I don't want to get in a warm. I'm hungry. It's like, the full moon is coming out because these are long, long days. And so that's what I try to achieve when I do the sports stuff.
Now, in
Yeah,
your working space.
but also to be fair, like there's a medal to be won at the end. I want that medal. That's why
Well,
I
good
do
for
it. You know,
you.
that's why we do anything. There's a reward at the end. That's why we don't give up. There's a book at the end of our quote race. There might be a financial gain. There might be something that we want. The successful business, a successful family. That's why we don't give up. And even though it's hard.
Well, and Debbie and I've talked several times about wanting to leave a legacy, that's the goal. And so getting our story out there becomes a family legacy, actually.
Absolutely.
And so speaking of winning the medal, tell us about the one you just recently won.
I'm so excited to share this, but I just got this yesterday. This is finished on the 50, and a friend of mine that I was in the hospital, I was in rehab with. I don't know, can you see it? Blurry. Reconnected with me. He found my website. He's like, I wonder if Stacey James is still out there, if this is the same one. Found my website and he said, would you like to do, after actually getting to know each other again, would you like to do the 4 miler at Ohio State in the spring? And I thought, yes, I haven't done a race in decades. Since my mom passed away, she was my helper. She would do the races with me. It was a lot of fun. She also loved Ohio State. And anyway, so he made it possible for his sister and brother-in-law to pick me up to get my hand cycle. In their car, it's not necessarily easy. I'll give you an idea what it looks like. That's my hand cycle. And yeah, we did this 4 mile around OSU campus, around the shoe, is what they call our stadium. And it was very exciting. And it was funny. I thought with my hand cycle, and he was in a wheelchair, by the way. And so we did it with two other able-bodied people walking with us, and it was fun. We knew we weren't going to win the race. It was just going to be a fun experience. And I did not know how weak I actually was. He was doing a little bit better than me. And we ended up finishing dead last, which was a little humbling, but everybody that crosses the finish line gets a medal, and I wanted that medal. And they say in the book, my life verse is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So I use that as my strength as well. I often put that verse on the back of my chair when I'm running the race. And one of the benefits I found out later of being dead last is there's no one at the finish line. You're on the field, finish on the 50-yard line, and you're in the stadium, and the professional photographers are there, but no one else is there. So I said, hey, can you take my picture crossing the finish line and put my arms up? And she's like, yeah. She took several with my cell phone and her camera. Oh, do you like this? And I said, yeah, that's great. Do this, and let's get the other side of the stadium. And she took more pictures, and it was really, really cool. So I'm so proud. It makes me want to do it for sure next year. I'm going to try to do some other races, but that was fun. Like I said, I didn't win, but it was a great experience, and I got a medal. And so I want to use that experience to encourage people. You don't have to be perfect. There were tons of other walkers. People did it with their baby strollers, and just to have the experience. There was like 14,000 other people, all having fun. Oh, by the way, it was freezing. I had t-shirt, turtleneck, fleece, coat, and t-shirt over that with my number. You just gotta even. Something like that, being cold can keep you from doing something, but I didn't want to let it stop me. So I just got to bundle up.
Wow. I love that. And having that photographer there with no other runners, it was like having your own personal photo shoot right there, at the end of the race, which was perfect. So I love that.
It was. I want to share something else that I remember that is very important with your writers that are listening to. We not only get the experience of writing a book and publishing it, but we need to sell that book, because books don't sell themselves. And if nobody knows about it, it's just going to stay there. It's not going to impact any lives. We want it to impact not just our family and our friends, but people that don't even know us can really learn from our stories. So what we did as warrior writers, that was our group that did a resilience book called Warrior Writers, Writing for Kingdom Impact. So what we did, we put together these, they're called one sheets, and it's got my bio on there. It's got questions for interviewers. It's got a summary of the book, and it's got a summary of my story. So what I get to do now is, find podcasts for people to interview me about my book. I'm going to try to write some articles for people to publish in magazines and newspapers. I used to do this early in my injury and my journey, would just be call up the local paper and even the Dispatch and say, hey, I'm doing this. I remember I'm doing the New York City Marathon, or I did the New York City Marathon in my wheelchair. This would be a great story. And they published it. I got published a lot of places. And the Dispatch would be happy to have Dispatch and local papers would be happy to have local authors. That's how I found other people's books, is through a magazine, newspaper doing other people's stories. So, so we want to, because we don't want to gyp people from hearing our story and our hope and our life lessons that they can learn from. So we get to promote it and sell that book. And so that's what. We also went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention to promote our book. And so, and also as a speaker, we spent time before we went to NRB in February making these promotional sheets, and also making what I've got called a speaker one sheet that talks about my bio, my speaking topics, how I can help people, and some credibility on the other side. So it's keeping it in mind. And also having a website where you can offer people some valuable tips called a lead magnet, so that you can help people with that, and also get their email, so that when your book does come out, promote it along the way as you're writing this. Hey, I'm writing this book. This is the chapter I'm working on, so that when the book does come out, you have people to sell it to buy your book. So it's kind of a journey of not just writing, but also thinking through who's going to buy this, who's going to benefit, and once you get the book published, then you get to have another job of getting your book out to the world. So that's another thing that writing a book entails, unless you just want it for yourself or your family. But you have a lot of work, and you have a lot of money in publishing a book. So you really want to get it out there, and you don't want to let people not learn from your life lessons, keep them from making the mistakes you made. So I just wanted to get that in. That's another part of writing the book.
Yes. And I have visited Stacy's website. And so it's called meetstacyjames.com. And she put it there in the chat. I will also put it in the description on the replay. But I agree with her. Again, Stacy and I, we both had some training, and Debbie as well. We both had some training under Carrie Oberbrunner. And that was the first that I have heard about a one sheet and an author's page and all of that. And I have all of that on my website as well. Stacy has all of that on her website, so feel free to visit either of those to see what that looks like. Because we do recommend, if you are a writer, you have to present yourself as a writer. I'm working with a writer right now, and he is so frustrated that nobody is buying his book, but he doesn't have a website. He doesn't have an author's page on Amazon. And so, and he's just so frustrated because he hasn't taken that next step that Stacy was just talking about. So, in our Build a Better Business program, which is separate from this one, which is authors and writers, I do show you how to put together a website and how to include all of those parts and pieces. So, feel free to visit that. Mine is under KathyBinner.com, and Stacy is under MeetStacyJames.com. So, there's our little plug for today. And as a free gift for Stacy, I am actually going to include her, as Sandy and I do with all of our guests, in our speakers cabinet. And so if you have a podcast, or if you know of somebody that is looking for guests to interview, you can go to KathyBinner.com, go to our speakers page, our speakers cabinet page, and you will find Stacy's not there yet because I haven't added her. I'll do that after the call today. But I will add Stacy there as one of our speakers so that you can connect directly with her if you want to interview her on your podcast, or if you know of somebody that would enjoy interviewing her about her book and her story. And gosh, there it is. There's the book. So feel free to to connect with her and learn more about her work. And her accomplishments are so remarkable. Miss Wheelchair Ohio, Columbus Business First 40 Under 40, one of Columbus Remarkable Women of 2020. And how did those experiences shape your perspective as a writer? And did they influence your narrative at all? Because I know your whole intent was to inspire.
It is, and how they shape me as a writer. What I want to do is take each of those accomplishments and say, what can other people learn from these? Because people are always thinking about themselves. What's in this for me? And so, even like as Miss Wheelchair Ohio, like probably no one can relate to being Miss Wheelchair Ohio. But what happened was, I competed for Miss Wheelchair America, and I came in third place. And I'll tell you what, I was devastating. And the more I thought about it, I really was depressed for a long time. People can probably relate more to losing on things than they can relate to winning. So, how can I take those lessons from how I really was depressed and down for a long time? But you know what? I found how to get back on my feet and live my life again. And so, those are the lessons that I want to, everybody's story, you want to think about how can this story benefit somebody else? Make it real, think about your real emotions and what you learn from those. What lessons can other people learn? What can people learn from, that? What can they learn from my travels? What can they learn from my disappointments? And what can they learn from my triumphs? So that when you think through your stories, think about what lessons other people can get from that. And so that's what I want to do is take all those life, things, especially, I think the theme of my life is not giving up, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want to give people hope, hope that life can go on, life can get better, but you can't just, lay in bed. And I realized a long time ago, no one's gonna knock on my door and deliver, here's your dream. It's never happened yet. So we gotta, no one's
See,
coming to rescue us and give us what we want. Sometimes God gives us some great miracles and things along the way, but that's when we, as we're working on it, it happens.
I want to open it up to questions, comments, aha moments. Anyone on the call, do you have any comments or questions for Stacy?
I have a question, if it's
Yes,
all right.
Sandy.
It would seem easy is never a applicable word to almost anything, but it seems like, well, it's your life, so it must be easy to know when you were done with telling that story. But I bet you, how did you know that you had told it, that you had gotten to the end, that it's like, okay, this is ready to go to a publisher or a professional editor or something like that? How did you know it was time for that you were done?
When well, as far as the resilience book, I'm done when I was like, it's a deadline. We had 5,000 words. I don't have any more words to add to it. And is there any more else I can? I had to take a lot of words out, actually. So when I'm, and that was just one story. One story, however, can be very difficult to tell. And that took a lot of work, a lot of, there was some stuff in there that I really wanted to put in, but I'm like, is this definitely something that the reader needs to know? Can I take it out? Can I put it in my memoir? And then, as far as my life story, it's going to hopefully continue to be written as I continue to persevere and live life. And as things get worse, I realize that, things are getting worse and I'm having a lot more emotions. And how am I going to deal with this? Because things are way different from when they were when I first had my accident. And they are getting worse and it's tough to deal with. So it's going to have to be as my memoir is okay. What does the audience need to know? I don't want it to be too long that it's intimidating because people like smaller things to read. Sometimes a really long book can be very intimidating, and I want people to read it. So I thought, if it all doesn't go into one book, I could write another book after that and continue the journey, continue the lessons. I especially like to write about my mom and what an awesome person she was, how she helped me get through, and her life was all full of grit as well. She went through a lot of life traumas and lessons. So I don't know. Did I touch on the question? Yeah. Sometimes your book is finished when they just rip it out of your hands. Like, listen, you're done. You've been working on it long enough, and that's probably going to be
Yeah. Another bonus for deadlines.
Yeah, I tell my daughter all the time, she's attention deficit growing up, and all through school I would always tell her there was that there, thank goodness for a good healthy deadline. Yeah, because that's when she would get her assignments turned in, when there was a good healthy deadline there. And I agree with that too. I'm in a collaborative book effort that's launching this coming week in the Miami, Florida area. So we fly out Sunday to go down there, and it's a big conference, and it's a 2-day. It's actually ends up like a 4-day launch. We've got book signing at Barnes and Noble. We've got a photo shoot with a professional photographer. We have a 2-day conference where we all get to be part of the speakers on stage, and so it's going to be quite an event. And so I'm excited about all of that. But like Stacy said, there was a deadline because it had to get to the editor, because it had to get uploaded and get published. Because the powers that be, the publishing company that I went with, they wanted to have author copies ordered and available at the conference. And so that was their deadline. So all of a sudden, you have to reverse engineer that and say, well, if we got to have books by this date, then it has to be published by this date, which means it has to be edited by this date, and which means the writers have to submit by this date your finished final draft. And so it did help. And having a word limit also helped me, because again, I knew where I wanted the story to end. And so what worked for me was to reverse engineer the story, start with the ending, and then what was my main aha turning point in my story, and put that in the middle, and then reverse engineer it and say, now how far back do I want to start? So that I can, in that amount of words, I can get to the aha moment so that I can get to the ending. And so that worked for me, was to break the story down in a couple of parts, what led up to the aha moment, and then what happened after the aha moment, to where I can inspire and help others. So yeah, the good healthy deadline. Yeah, can't say enough about that. So I love that. Before we go, Stacey, I do want to ask, we know how to get in touch with you at meetstaceyjames.com. But what, as far as your publishing, my question to you is, you're talking about the warrior writers. Is there a particular publishing house or publishing company, if because again, yours was all Christian writers, am I correct? If somebody wanted to write in that realm of Christian writers, is there a person they could connect with?
Our writing coach and the head of Warrior Writers is Missy Maxwell Wharton. She's got a website with that, missymaxwellwharton.com. And we meet every Monday and Thursday morning, very early, for coaching, for writing exercises, and for feedback on our writings. And she also conducts writers' works, like 5-day challenges and some workshops that are very, very helpful. And that's how she can pull some people in. And so it's a great way to learn how to. Before we were in the compilation book, we're all writing our memoirs, our true stories. And so she helps us with that. And then someone said, "Hey, why don't we write an anthology, a compilation book?" And so that's how that got started. And it got too big for one book, so we put it into two. So they could contact Missy if they're interested in that, and go from there.
Very good. Thank you for that, Stacy. Yes, Debbie.
Are you in both books?
I'm not in both books. No, I think each one of us, Missy and Donna. Missy's the main publisher. Donna is the main editor. Their names are on the books. So there's a lot of books on resilience out there. So their names are at the bottom here. But I think each of us has only one story in the books, because I broke it up instead of just one book, made it two. But Missy and Donna have a story in each book.
I already found it on Amazon.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be available on my website, and put an easy link to that as well, an Amazon link. So you can get it on Amazon, you can get it on my website,
Well,
and
I'm
eventually
going
you
to
get
say,
my memoir, my true story, out, hopefully by,
can't wait to read that.
yeah, it'll be great.
And actually, I'm really glad that I came on today. God had a big hand in this one, and because I could relate to many things that you were saying. And someone said to me yesterday, they go, "You have a story with what and how it happened." And I took a lot of notes, and I'd like to get the book, and then when your memoir comes out, and here's the other thing. I just gave myself a deadline, and I figured if you can do it by the end of the year at least to get written or published in February, I can do the same thing. So thank you. I have really enjoyed your story today. I really have. And thank you so much for being on here. And Kathy, good job.
By the way, as far as deadlines, some people give themselves like an inspirational deadline, like their birthday, somebody like a family member's birthday, an anniversary date, something that's significant to them. So that's kind of, or that could be like a deadline, or it could be like a launch date. I want to launch it by a certain amount of time, which means you got to get it done a lot earlier. But that launch day is very special too. So that's kind of something that's important that can help you be a deadline. And Debbie, I've just got a question. What was it? What were some things I said that were inspirational or helpful to you? Do you mind sharing?
Well, the one thing that caught my eye was that you said just write your thoughts. And it reminded me that you're right. It's not the final copy that I'm doing. And so many times I have seen people trying to make it perfect the first time. And you reminded me of that. And the deadline. And you also talked about good question, Kathy. How do I use my voice? And I'd always wondered, how am I going to come across in my memoirs? And to me, this was that was very important. And having the reader go on the journey with me. And I can do it for either my health experience or my memoirs. That's very, very important. And be a role model. And I like this, the thing you said was, and what I wrote was, I have a book at the end of my race. And you had a medal at the end of your race. So to me, I'm looking forward to ordering the book and getting it and really reading how you put that, because I feel as though it would be a great example for anyone that is going to try to rewrite their life story, their memoirs.
Yeah.
And
You'll learn a lot from the other people that wrote their stories too. It might give you some ideas at how they wrote, and that will give you some ideas for your own story, Debbie.
yeah, I agree. Thank you so much. I appreciate this, and I'm so glad I was on here today.
Good.
Perfect, perfect. I think we've talked with everyone except Francisco. Francisco, did you want to share or have a comment or question for Stacy before we go?
Hi, no questions for Stacey. I did enjoy everything she's talked about. So thank you for coming on and telling your story. It was actually very special. So thank you. I do have a question for Sandy. Is there a daily event schedule available for the Into the Springs workshop? Because I was looking through the website, but I couldn't find one.
If you go on the schedule, there's I think it's about, it's an about maybe, and it
Yeah,
shows.
Stacy and I were on the website yesterday, and Stacy, if you remember, I clicked around a little bit before I finally found the daily schedule, and I think it is in the about page.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. So I was looking in the wrong places. Thank you so
No.
much.
No, I had somebody wanted to bring it up to contemporary levels, and I said, okay, here we go. And it's like, wait, where did everything go? So thank you. I enjoyed that feedback. Thank you, Francisco.
No worries. And thank you, everybody, for speaking up and telling us a little bit about yourselves. I really enjoyed everything. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. And please feel free to come back. We are here the second Monday of every month at 12 noon. We have a different author on every month. Francisco, are you an author or a wannabe author as well?
Definitely a wannabe author. I did a recent career change, so I've always wanted to be a writer. So this is actually my first year venturing into that. So I'm getting any information as much as I can. So thank you.
Okay, perfect. We would love to see you at the Writers Workshop in Yellow Springs.
For sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
With that, I think we're going to go. Is there any final comment, Stacy?
Yeah, what I would tell Francisco, what I would tell anybody, I am guilty of gathering information for years. Nothing happens until you take action, until you make the discipline to do what you know you need to do, and not just like Debbie got out of it. Just sit down, start writing your thoughts, write the main events that you want to talk about. It's going to be messy. Just get it out on the page. It doesn't have to be perfect the first time. It won't be perfect the first. If it is perfect the first time, then you're a miraculous, amazing writer. But yeah, just get it down, and then you can work from it from there. But you can't work from something that you don't have on the page. So start getting that on the page, and then as you learn, you can tweak and you can go. But just don't be guilty of waiting for decades to write a story that people can benefit from. I can't wait to get my story out there, and like I said, do the discipline. And at the end, there's a discipline. There's two kinds of because you don't want to regret. You don't want to die and then regret, like, oh, I wish I would have done that. So don't live with that. Yeah.
Good point.
We
I
never
love that.
know when our time is up, and that's kind of a scary thing for me too.
Oh, it's for all of us. Yes. Thank you again for being with us. Sandy, thank you for being on and being my
Always a
co-host,
pleasure.
my co-mod. Debbie, thank you. It's good to see you back with us. And you look wonderful. Thank you so much. Stacy, thank you for being our guest today. Really appreciate you. I learned so much more about your story. I knew that you had grit when I first met you. And now it's undeniable. And so thank you for being here. And Francisco, thank you so much for being a guest with us today. And we will see everyone next time. So thank you so much.
If you want
Bye.
some more information, go to meetstacyjames.com. You can see the book, you could see my blog, poems, information on my speaking. It's a great resource for you. So thank you, Kathy. It was nice to meet everybody.
Yes, thank you. See everybody next time. Bye.
Okay.